Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we had four posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. Our first post introduced the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons Clinical Consensus Statement on Diagnosis and Treatment of Adult Acquired Infracubital Heel Pain. The second post was to highlight the consensus statement on pre-hospital care for exertional heat stroke. In our third post, we summarized an article where the authors reported that many professional football players whom believed they suffered a concussion failed to disclose this information to a medical professional. Many reported that they did not believe the injury was serious enough. Finally, we described a study where the authors found that pre-adolescent female soccer athletes had decreased knee valgus during a double leg landing task after participating in an injury prevention program. Younger athletes seem to be ideal for prevention programming. If we take a closer look at the second to last post, we find that the authors mailed 100 questionnaires to each of the 9 teams' head athletic trainers or therapists to identify reasons why Canadian Football League athletes believe they suffered a concussion but failed to seek medical attention, how often this occurred, and how important reasons were in the decision process. During the 2016 preseason physicals, athletes who consented completed the anonymous survey. This survey consisted of 17 questions that assessed the player's football participation history, lifetime, in recent concussion injury history, recent being considered the prior 12 months, in 13 different scenarios where athletes recounted how many times each scenario happened to them and rated how important it was in their decision to disclose or not disclose the concussion. A total of 454 players completed the survey, of which 309 athletes played in the Canadian Football League during the 2015 season. Among 446 players, 188, or 42%, had a history of concussion. However, of the 309 players that participated in the 2015 season, only 21% stated they would always share their symptoms, and 62% reported that they would never volunteer their symptoms. The most common reason a player failed to report a concussion was because they did not feel the concussion was serious or severe enough and felt they could continue to play with little danger. 42% felt that they would be removed from the game and they did not want this to happen. And 41% of the players reported they thought they would let the team down if they reported a concussion. Similar to the National Football League, the Canadian Football League has a concussion policy, concussion spotters, and targeted concussion education programs for their players. However, the players of this study found that the minority of athletes sought medical attention for a concussion, and most athletes would not volunteer concussion injury information to medical personnel. Additionally, like previous research, the authors found that the most frequent reasons for why a player failed to disclose a potential concussion was because they did not deem it serious enough, they did not want to let teammates down, or they did not want to be taken out of the game. This underscores an important but sad reality that too often education does not lead to a change in behavior. It would be interesting to see if a broad cohort of athletes have similar attitudes and reporting behaviors regarding concussions across different sports, different ages, and different skill levels. Within this Canadian Football League cohort, it would be noteworthy to determine if they are failing to disclose due to potential financial loss. We need further research to identify how we can better educate athletes so we can encourage them to participate in healthy injury reporting behaviors. At this time, medical professionals need to be aware of the reasons why athletes may not disclose a potential concussion. Don't forget that we also share extra material on our social media. This week's most popular post was a special article in the Journal of Athletic Training that served as a statistical primer for athlete trainers on the essentials of understanding measures of reliability and minimally important change. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the post, and the article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.